Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, it's 9:30 and time for us to get into our conversation. We're going to be joined on the line by Pastor Trust Mwanahiba. He's going to be speaking to us about walking the talk. We're talking about faith as something that we live, right? And for men, this means embodying principles of integrity and compassion, service in one's daily actions, whether at work, with family, or in the community. But how exactly can one consistently align his choices with his beliefs? Right? Living out your faith is not about perfection, but about persistence and authenticity. So we're going to explore what it means to walk the talk in every aspect of life. Pastor Mwanahiba joins us on the line. Good morning, my pastor. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, my sister. And how are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're really happy to have you on air.
Pleasure to be here.
All right. So we're talking about walking the talk, Pastor. What practical steps can men take to align their daily actions with their faith?
To begin with, I think that this is a very interesting topic. Typically, what you find is that men have not been taught how to become men. Boys are not taught how to become men.
Okay.
I find that in our African context, there's a lot that is done to, you know, teach girls how to become women.
Yeah.
But I think there's not so much done that is, you know, for men, for boys to know what they're supposed to be as men.
What's expected.
And so you would actually say, yes, you would say in a sense, actually, you would think, you would say that men have become somehow an endangered species. Because you know, girls are empowered from the time that, you know, a girl is noticed to have, menstruation. Everything is done to, you know, to guide her, to help her transition into womanhood.
Yeah.
But you find that for men, a boy can, you know, begin to show signs that he's growing, have wet dreams. But nothing seriously is done to coach a man on how to become a man. And so I think, especially also in the Christendom, we find that really what is expected of a boy as he transitions to become a man is not made very clear. And so the discussion that we have today is very, very important.
So what are some of those practical steps that can be taken for young men to align their actions with their faith? What are some of those steps that can be taken?
One of the things I think I would say is, David tells us in Psalm chapter 63 that early in the morning I'll seek thee. One of the practical steps I think that men can take is, first of all, to understand your purpose and your mission in life. To have a very clear sight of where you're trying to go as a man. And I think when you have a purpose, your routine is going to be reflected. I mean, your routine is going to reflect the purpose that you have. So, for example, if I'm saying, in my case, I want to be a pastor, I want to be, you know, I want to be a missionary.
Right.
The things, the daily choices that I'm making, whether it's to, you know, begin my day with God, to read, have a Bible reading in the morning. My choices on a daily basis are going to be intentional. I'm going to be a man of routine. I'm going to be a man of regiment. And I think one of the best things that you can do every single day is to begin your day with God.
Right. That's beautiful. So you're talking about literally being intentional about how your time is spent, being intentional about what you do with your day. I'm aiming for this particular, earlier you talked about knowing one's purpose. So once I am aware of that purpose, I'm planning my life around getting there.
Exactly. When I think about men, one of the role models that always really greatly inspires me in the Bible, when I think about men, is Noah. There is actually a quote by Warren Buffett that says, you know, predicting the rain doesn't count.
Okay.
building the ark does. So evidently that quote is actually an allusion to the story of Noah.
Right.
He believed that the rain is coming, sure, as God had told him.
Yeah.
But it's not enough to simply believe that the rain is coming.
Hey.
What steps are you taking? You know, how does your belief affect your day-to-day choices?
Mm.
And so because he believed that the flood is coming, he, you know, made sure that he built the ark. He made sure that he preached, first of all, to his family.
Yeah.
And then he also went out and preached to, you know, those that are around him.
Mm, mm.
And so, ultimately, I think, you know, the example that we find with Noah is a great example for all men.
Yeah.
Because, you know, ultimately, even as we, you know, look at relationships,
mm-hmm,
our, you know, our faith, our charity must begin at home.
Mm,
you know, we must. Yeah, we must put into practice what we believe first at home and then outside in the community.
Love that. Love that. I really like that emphasis on the fact that, you know, because I mean, we are talking walking the talk, right? That is that's the title of our of the segment right now, walking the talk. And like you said, Noah, not just believing that the rain was coming, but investing so much financially,
yes,
physically, emotionally, and in every way, he invested in building this ark. No, because he knew, and that speaks to so many of us. I think even as we call ourselves Christians, our actions,
yes,
aligning with that, the things, the choices that we make, the investments that we're making, the way that we spend our time, does that align with the fact that we really believe that Jesus is coming again, or is it just,
exactly,
like a fairy tale, something that we'll see when it happens. Yeah, I think that's quite those are strong words there for all of us to take note of. Now, you just talked about relationships with family and, you know, serving your family first before you go out there. How do you think living out your beliefs influences relationships with others in your family and otherwise?
Yeah, I believe that, you know, most of us today, a good number of us, especially in the Christendom, I think we have lived a superficial Christianity.
Okay.
And I say that because most of what we purport to do and most of what we say we are supposed to be doing doesn't align with the actions. You know, the Bible is not a superficial book. It's very practical.
Mm.
God will tell us what he expects from us,
yeah,
in terms of how we relate with the poor. God will tell us what he expects from us in terms of how we relate with our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible is very clear. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And when we begin not only to talk about these things and you know, to quote these verses, but when we begin to now implement and put them into action, our relationships are going to be really directly be, you know, impacted. The way we see other people, the way we treat other people is going to be then affected by, you know, what we believe about what Jesus has said we must do. So really, as a Christian who is practically living out those principles, if I am going to love others the way I love myself, really changes the paradigm.
Yeah.
You know, when I see somebody who is hungry, I'm going to think about how I would feel if I was in that position. And I see someone who is, you know, sitting on the street, I'm going to look. And practically, you know, we talk about things like, even when I'm in a position, an empowered position, where I can help my friend, I can help my neighbor to get a job. Taking practical steps like that, I think that is what real Christianity is all about.
Yeah. That's I like that, because it's the practicality of it. That's, I think, going back again to Noah, it's the practicality. Yes, we believe we must take care of the poor among us, but what are we doing? What are we doing about it? And I was thinking about this some time ago. I was thinking about, you know, the way, for example, here in South Africa, you go to KFC, they'll always ask you, do you want to donate as you pay for your meals? Do you want to donate R2 to whatever, to feed a child? How many kids do you want to feed? And that's a very fine. That, I guess, that's one thing one might do. I always wonder, well, can't you feed them yourselves? You are KFC. But like, what is my two rand going to do? But anyway, but you know, there are practical ways that we can actually reach out to people. There are clothes sitting in the closet that you have not worn for months, maybe years. There's food that's getting thrown away, getting thrown into the trash because you don't feel like eating it. Things like that. It really is something. It shows us where we are as Christians in 2025. That I feel like we are casual. It sounded strong when you said it at first, that there's a very superficial way that we approach our Christianity. But when we're being honest with ourselves, I think I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Yep.
So tell us about some common challenges that men face when trying to live out their faith. What are some of those?
I think for men, one of the common challenges, and again, I'll make reference to Noah. Noah tried to live out his faith, you know, and try to be a moral and spiritual man in a world which was very unspiritual and very immoral. And that can be challenging because you typically following Christ really is very pleasant when you have a very good support system.
Sure.
And I'm thinking in our time, you know, in our days, you know, you have church, you have, you know, many people that can be around you. But you find like in the time of Noah, he, you know, he had to stand for what was right. In a world that was very, very, you know, immoral and ungodly. And I think this is what a lot of Christians, a lot of men are finding themselves. This is the situation a lot of men are finding themselves in. You talk about the workplace. You are in a position where all your friends around you, you know, are engaged in corrupt practices, you know, trying to get ahead. But to be able to stand for what is right, to be able to stand for your values and your principles while surrounded by people that are very corrupt, by people that are not, that do not align with your belief system, I think can be quite a challenge for men. I also mentioned that I think when we talk about men, and a very practical aspect is also the women that surround us. The significant women in our lives, that can be our mothers, that can be our wives, that can be our girlfriends, our fiancés. If your woman is not does not really value the things that you value, if your woman doesn't value Christianity, does not value, I mean, a relationship with God, that can be a significant challenge. If you are trying to raise a godly family with a wife who doesn't really believe in God the same way that you do, can be very challenging for a man. And so I think these are daily challenges that men have to struggle with, you know, trying to be faithful in an environment where everyone else is unfaithful. So I think for boys as well, we talk about issues of peer pressure. Everyone is smoking. You know, everyone is drinking, everyone is watching porn, and they can actually, you know, kind of scoff at you and say, but look, you're the only one who is, you know, who is not doing these things. So trying to live out your faith in such an environment can be quite challenging for them.
Sure. I think it was a week ago, we were speaking to someone. One of our guests was talking about, she mentioned something about how many years ago, when we were teenagers, if someone was drinking or smoking or, you know, engaging in sex and things like that at that young age in our teenage years, that person was often the odd one out, and kind of everyone knew that that person is the one who does this or that.
Now it's
the complete opposite. It's the other way around. If you don't do those things, it's like, what is wrong with that person? What's wrong with you? You know, you're missing out on this is normal. In fact, that's what the world will tell you, that this is a normal part of growth. This is how you grow up.
Exactly.
So don't worry about it. And then worse, on top of that, you'll be told that, you know, God is a God of grace and he will forgive you and he understands what's happening in your body. You know, you just have to just go with the flow and God will understand. And yeah, that's the deception.
And you know, also the pushback that comes from governments.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, we are living in a time when life has become very uncertain.
Mm.
I know that, you know, certain things like you talk about, you know, gay rights, you talk about all these other things, your sexual preference. We have reached a time when there's nothing that is, there's no right or wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Everything really depends on how you perceive things.
How you feel, yeah.
How you feel. And you find that now, actually, we are informed that we are really getting to a place where, even as a pastor, if you are not willing to marry same-sex couples, you know, that you could find yourself actually penalized.
Sure.
And so, yeah, that's kind of the environment we find ourselves in.
Sure. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. So how can service to others reflect a man's commitment to his faith, do you think?
Service actually for a Christian is what really Christianity is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus actually defined his entire ministry by saying the Son of Man did not come to be served, but the Son of Man came to serve.
Mm.
Yeah, service. You know, actually, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, when you break it down, basically, it's two things.
Mm-hmm.
Love God and love man.
Right.
Yeah, love God and love man. And Paul would say that when you have understood that and you put that into practice, then you have fulfilled the whole law and the whole of the prophets, actually.
Yeah.
So when you believe in God, when you have Jesus as your example, Jesus went from towns, he went from cities to villages, serving others, you know, healing and trying to make the community a better place, the world a better place for people. And I think that is practical Christianity. He tells us the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that parable actually comes in the context of someone asking, what is, you know, what is the greatest commandment?
Mm.
You know, and who is my neighbor?
Yeah.
And then he gives the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Mm.
And in the parable, we find that the churchgoers, you know, the Levite, the high priest, bypassed the, you know, the man who was wounded on the road. But this man, this Samaritan man, comes and sees this person wounded and says, I cannot leave this person like that. I just must have to find a way to be of service to this person. And so, again, when we talk about practical Christianity, if you are not living a life of service, you have not yet begun to be a Christian.
Mm. Mm. I love that. Do you know why I find this one interesting? Because as you said earlier on, when you talked about the challenges that young boys face and not knowing what is expected of them as men, as they grow into men. I think one major thing is that there's this expectation of leadership, right? Especially in African or traditional Christian conservative type of homes, we expect the father or the husband to be the leader. And men in general are expected to naturally have those leadership qualities. And because of the way the world has twisted things and like you said, a lot of boys don't know what that even means. What is leadership? What is expected of me? Especially if they don't have a male mentor or a father or someone that they can look up to. Then they think leadership is about dominance, and they think leadership is about being the boss and being served and everything must be to my liking. You know, there's that confusion. And so this emphasis of service being a part of being a man, the fact that Jesus came to serve and, you know, service to other people rather than looking out for your own best interest is such an important thing, I think, for young men to learn and to internalize that service does not make you weak. It doesn't make you less of a man, but that is actually, that's actually what will cause people to gravitate towards you and to be interested in following your guidance, because you have demonstrated that you care about everyone's well-being, not just your own.
And ultimately, I think, you know, the church should do more. This is really, I think, something that the church needs to take greater interest in, in making sure that our men are coached. Making sure that our men are coached. What does it really mean? Because like you were saying, dominance and masculinity, and thinking that you must be the boss, you must be the one. I think that's what has affected a lot of our men, because we have allowed them to grow, you know, like weeds. And so, teaching people about service, teaching people about kindness, you know, teaching people about meekness. Those are things that really, as a church, we need to begin to delve more into.
And it's so unfortunate, because you find that even young girls, as they grow up, they start to see all those qualities that you just mentioned, the kindness and the meekness. The young girls grow up and see that as weakness. So when they do meet a man who is kind and he's loving and he's forgiving, they see him as weak. Like, what's wrong with him? And it just becomes this cycle, this ugly cycle, where the boys who do have those qualities start thinking, okay, maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I need to be tougher. Maybe I need to be a bit rougher around the edges. Maybe that's when I'll be more accepted. And it's just an ugly cycle that the devil has created among our young people.
Yeah.
Now, as we wrap up, how can you remain steadfast in your faith, especially in those times when you're faced with adversity? I can imagine Noah for years and years and years preaching the same message, not a cloud in the sky threatening any rain, people laughing, people coming and going, and nothing is happening. How do you remain steadfast in your conviction and in your faith, even when you're faced with that kind of adversity?
You know, my sister, I believe that remaining steadfast has more to do with not simply your reaction to the storm, but has more to do with how you have prepared for the storm. The problem that most of us face is, you know, if you think about a ship or a boat which is anchored, all right, which will not drift away because it's anchored, the process of anchoring is seldom done when there's a storm. You anchor your ship, you anchor your boat when there are no storms. So by the time a storm is coming, by the time waves are coming, the boat does not drift away because it finds itself anchored. And I think, you know, this is kind of what Jesus is teaching when he talks about the wise and the foolish builder. You know, one chooses to build on the sand, the other chooses to build on the rock. And for both of them, the storms of life came, you know, the winds, the rain, beat on the houses. But the one that invested tirelessly in building, you know, taking the difficult assignment of building on the rock, when the storms came, the house remained grounded.
Yes.
Why? Because that house was built on the rock. And when you read the context of Matthew chapter 7, actually, you discover is that Jesus is actually talking about Christians that are hearers of the word and they put it into practice. Those that he likens to the wise man, to the wise builder, are those Christians that have listened to his teachings and put them into practice. So when you are used to the routine, you've created a relationship with Jesus Christ over the years, over a period of time. You find that when the storm comes, because the storm is coming for everyone, it comes in different shapes and different forms, but everyone will have to go through some kind of a storm. And when we have invested in our relationship with Jesus, regardless of what comes, because we have learned to pray, we are not praying simply because we feel that we are in trouble. We are just continuing like Daniel. You know, your regiment, which is to pray to God all the time. So you find that it becomes easier for you in those times, because one of the things I think all of us struggle with practically is the feeling that when I have a situation and I haven't been praying to God, how then do I come now to God to pray to him after all these years? So your own conscience is acting against you, And you come now to God and say, but can he really be able to answer me? I've been away from him all
for so
these
long.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your own mind is acting against you. And so I think if we learn to remain grounded, read the Bible, not simply because I have a situation, read the Bible, not simply because I need to prepare someone, and I'm praying not simply because I have a problem, but I have created this regimen. It has become a habit. I cannot live my life without a connection with God. It becomes easier to face any kind of adversity in life.
Yeah, I love that. Just be prepared, recognizing that the hard times are going to come. You can't avoid them. You know they're going to come. So
exactly.
It's better to just stay prepared. If you stay prepared, you don't have to get prepared. And I think that's a beautiful
and
way
and
to...
It, mm-hmm. Yep, and it takes me back to the way we started. Mm. I just love that quote by Warren Buffett that says, it's not about, you know, predicting the rain that counts. It's about building the ark. So when the rain comes, and finds that you have already built the ark. You're already prepared.
Right.
So the little things that on a daily basis
that's
really
good
help to fortify our faith.
That's good. That's good. I love that. Definitely. I think this is a beautiful way to end our conversation for this morning. And I hope that the young men out there, or anyone near a young man, anyone raising a young man or mentoring a young man, will be able to take some of these lessons and apply them. And I believe for all of us, there's a way that we can apply the lessons that we've had in this conversation. Family, if you have anything to add on, please feel free to do that on +27 7347035 20. Thank you so much, Pastor Mwanahiba. We appreciate your time. God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Vongi. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.